Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. BT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Gray along with Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday morning. Also joined in studio by Emporia High basketball coaches Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin. Both teams picking up victories last night over Topeka High. Having a good week this past week is... Hard to believe we're down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season now.
Yeah.
Where'd it go?
It goes by fast, that's for sure.
Well, a couple weeks we'll be talking about Substate, and your team, Coach Carolyn Dorsey, still in the running to host a Substate, so every game becomes maybe extra important from that particular standpoint, but you always want to take care of business. And last night your basketball team went up against a very good Topeka High basketball team. Not a lot of points scored. I guess we have to say good defense played by both teams.
It really was, and honestly, we excel in those games. You know, when it's a shootout, that's a little bit harder for us because we don't have as many offensive weapons usually, but if you want to lock down in the half court, we can do that. And, man, it was a huge win. There was a time several years ago before Kiki and Nyjah, man, we used to sweep Topeka High all the time. That was not abnormal, just for the record. And, man, we're taking it back, and it's kind of a cool feeling.
Now, last night's final score, for those who may not be aware, 37-31. It was a game that you trailed at the end of the first quarter. You trailed at halftime, and you even trailed going into the fourth quarter. What was the difference in that fourth quarter?
It was all part of our game plan, Greg. We were never it was never panic. That's why I think I told him at the end of every quarter, we're exactly where we need to be. You know, we played them at their place, and we shot the ball really well up there. And it was, man, that was just something you don't see very often. Last night was more indicative of what I expected. And like I said, down two, a basket every single time, we'll take it. Going in that fourth quarter is the same thing. It was... Man, we were down one stop. We got to get one stop, one thing go our way. And I thought they were locked in. They were so locked in last night. I have nothing but compliments. And, you know, we go back to last week. I was so mad at them on Saturday after the rule game. I think I had some listeners say something about it, you know, like not in a bad way. But I was disappointed. We didn't handle ourselves well. We hold them accountable. You know, and I take pride in our program that our program holds kids accountable. You know, and might not always be the case everywhere else, but it is in ours. And they know that, and they want to be held accountable. And we got after it Monday. You know, we kind of laid into them a little bit. And if you want to be great or you want to be good, you know, then you're not going to act like this. You know, and, man, they had a really good week. They were locked in at practice. There was something different about them. Last night, again, it was smooth. They were calm. It was the ducks on the water. They might have been going 100 miles underneath, but on the surface, man, they were, man, just calm and steady.
And I felt like you guys became the tougher team in the fourth quarter, too.
We are the tougher team most of the time, Dylan. That's something we expect. It's not in our identity, you know. And I think I played for a man that expected that from us. I think I exude that. And I think our players are going to exude it if they want to be successful in our program. And the ones that have been, you know, are tough. And I think you're seeing it. I think Topeka High got tired. You know, they were gassed. They played only six kids. And we outran them. You know, they are better athletes. You know, there was someone said something about, man, we look like the better basketball players. And I laughed. I said, to who? I was like, we're 5'5", little. Man, but they got after it. We were the tougher team last night. Topeka High was bigger, faster, and stronger at every position. But not our kids don't back down. They are tougher, and we expect that from them. And I'm incredibly proud of their performance because that was a dogfight, and we knew it would be. And I think at halftime we said that. I said, girls, you're in a dogfight. You got 16 more minutes of it. Hang on. And I think you saw fatigue set in for Topeka High. I think Kiki, Lexi, and Zeta did a phenomenal job on Kiki Smith last night. Kiki's a great player. She can scoot. She can move. She's strong. She can play, but she was tired. And Lexi and Zeta were everywhere she wanted to be. And they, heck, Lexi and Kermer went and hung out in their on their bench one time. She went over there. I said, go with her. You stay with that girl and wear her down. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and of course, you know, with Kiki Smith, and there were times where she was going against Rebecca, and I thought Rebecca did a good job. And she was playing with two fouls earlier.
Yes.
Early in the game. Uh-huh. And at one point when I saw Kiki Smith on Rebecca Snyder, I was like, oh boy, Rebecca better not pick up that third foul. But Rebecca played her heart out, playing with some adversity, playing with two fouls early.
Well, and I think that too, man, first off, man, Rebecca's come so far. And again, it's crazy because you just, ever since you see them, you try to mature them, you try to get them ready, and all of a sudden they grow up right before your eyes, and I feel like I'm looking at a different kid. And it's bittersweet as always, you know, they're flying, and she's one of them. Man, she has done so much for us, and she's so important. She got two really bad fouls, and I don't agree with them. I think the second one was terrible. I think they looked for it. I was very frustrated with that second call. And then I think old Rebecca, that might have bothered her a little bit. But man, I kind of looked at her. I said, "Don't worry about it. You're staying. We can't afford to sit her." And I don't know if she ended up with three fouls or two, but.
And she stayed with two.
I think she stayed with two the rest of the game. And she was poised. She was calm. I think it was an interesting strategy to put Kiki on Rebecca. I don't know why. I don't know if they thought she could out-physical her or, again, draw that other foul. I thought it was an interesting move. But, man, Rebecca handled herself so well. Again, I'm incredibly proud of that kid. She is pivotal to our success, and she's playing that way. You know, she only had 13, and somebody's going to say she only had 13. Those are big 13 points. And a 37-31 win, that's half our points almost.
And one other thing, when it came down to the stretch of the game where you knew you were going to go to the free throw line, Topeka High elected a foul of Emile Bennett. And at that moment, I'm like, Topeka High, you just fouled the wrong player.
Well, that's Minnie. Emile Bennett's Minnie. Her mom said last night, I call her Minnie on the radio. I don't know if people know who I'm talking about. Minnie. I'm so proud of her, too. She's got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of vinegar in her. You kind of look at her, and she's got an edge to her. And you need that at that spot. Again, at the point guard spot in the Centennial League, she's done a really nice job for us. And she was not shooting the ball well for a stretch there, and she's well aware of that. And I think she could smile about it, and that's what I like about her. A competitor can say, yep, that's true, and I fixed it. And I think that's exactly what that kid has done. And when she stepped up there, she always kind of smirks after she hits one because she knows she had a 2-week stretch where we thought about firing her from our delay game because she was shooting so bad. She was shooting like 39% from the free throw line. I said, dude, that's unacceptable. And she's really chipped away at it and goes, what, 6 of 6 last night? Or we went 6 of 6, I guess, in that stretch.
Well, winning games like that has to give your girls a little bit of confidence, not going into what's left in the season, but also looking forward to sub-state and maybe even possibly to state, because those are the type of teams you're going to be facing.
Yeah, no, we're playing really good competition. It's like, again, Topeka Hayden, top 10, Rural, top 10, Topeka High, top 10. I mean, it's not been easy by any means. Our league for the girls is, I think it's loaded right now. You know, we played Seaman, number 1. Again, we haven't had a whole lot of breaks over here. They've gotten us ready. You know, again, I go back to the Manhattan game, which we'll see them again. It's gotten us ready. The Seaman game got us ready. As dagger of that 3 was, man, it's prepared them. Washburn Rule game got them ready. And, you know, I kind of told, you know, we talked about this last week with Hayden. You know, teams have to face us. We're not David in the Goliath story anymore, you know, or whoever is who. I can't ever keep it straight. But we're not, as I told the girls, man, they got to see you at our home court. You know, that's something to be said. We already did the hard part, beating them on the road. They should have confidence. You know, it's my job to tell them things they need to improve on. But at the end of the day, they need to look around and say, we're 14-3, could possibly be 17-0 had we not kind of withered away some opportunity. But that's pretty darn good. They're a good basketball team, and they're playing well. And I think down the stretch, if we keep springboarding, man, we're going to be a tough team to see in March.
Well, the next game is Manhattan Tuesday night at home. And I guess that's the fortunate thing. It's at home. Your girls have played well at home this year.
They have played well at home, knock on wood. You know, we've kind of addressed – yeah, I was like, find some in here. We've addressed that. You know, you protect your home court. And the other thing, you work hard every day. These people come out to watch you. Give them something to see. Make them get their money's worth. And they're doing that. You know, like I said, we have an opportunity to seek vengeance. You know, I don't handle that one still well. And we know Manhattan gave us their best shot, and we did not handle prosperity well. And, you know, I think we fixed some things, and I think it's going to hopefully be a different game, but. You know, we can't settle. Oh, we beat Topeka High. We beat Hayden. You know, the Hayden win up there is a great win. It's hard to beat Hayden up there, and we can't be content with it. And you know, we got again another opportunity to put another notch on our belt, and again continue to jockey for sub-state rankings. You know, we want to stay away from certain teams, and in order to do that, you got to keep winning. Otherwise, you're going to face some tough teams in that sub-state final, and we don't want to do that because we want to be down at White at some point.
And then you also have Junction City.
Right.
On Friday night, playing at their place, and you can't take them lightly.
No, they're playing well. They're scrappy. You know, like I said, they've gotten better. They played us darn close, you know, for a half, and we have to be locked in. You know, I do want to go back real fast and talk about Ryan Peake last night. She had a good game. She hadn't been playing well, and I just want to give her a little bit of a bone here. We played her two quarters of JV to get some confidence going, and I watched that ball go in, and I watched her in the JV game, and she looked strong and solid, and she has some huge rebounds for us down the stretch last night. Again, she needed that, which I was really happy for that kid because I know she's probably been upset about how she's been playing, and like I said, it was good to see that ball go in for her. But, yeah, no, we got Manhattan and Junction, two games that we can't take for granted.
And that and Ryan Peake played really good against Manhattan the first time, and she was in that game – back in January, she was really a difference maker for you guys because she was the one that was able to score the ball and give you a spark off the bench.
She did score well up there. You know, and yeah, she did. Like I said, there's no denying that. She scored well for us. And again, as a whole, we were terrible. So if we can have her contributing like she did and then everybody else actually show up this time, it should be a better game, I would think. But they're getting tougher. Like I said, what Lexi and Zeta did last night, I've face guarded in my career. That's what I did at ESU. It's a hard job. It's exhausting. People don't understand what it is until you do it. And those two were phenomenal at it. And we kind of joked, man, they might have dreams of those two last night because they were everywhere Kiki was. And I'm so proud of them. Their performance last night was, I don't have anything to say about it other than it was great. And I don't use the word great very often.
Coach, I got one other question from you from Steve Souther. He's wondering if you're going to play in the ESU alumni game this morning.
Steve, Kyle won't get off my back about it. He says it's at 9:30. I already told him no like six times. I said, Kyle, I'm too old. I can't. Nobody wants to watch this. I've had a cough for 2 weeks. I can barely breathe. It's not COVID, just FYI, everybody. But, yeah, I guess they're tipping at 9:30. I don't know. I had a big breakfast burrito for lunch or breakfast already. I was kind of relaxed. I didn't get to show up at the game, do my part, and watch. But, yeah, I keep getting messages from them. They just messaged me about 10 minutes ago. So leave me alone. I want the shirt. If I get a shirt, maybe I'll go down there. I don't know. But I will be at the alumni events later, that's for sure. There's some great women coming back who I'm pretty excited to see.
Yeah, that Emporia State alumni – I've been told it was 9:45. They probably wanted you there at 9:30 so you could get warmed up.
Yeah, I need to be there at 9 if we're playing at 9:45.
But I think there are at least 20 players that have agreed to play.
That's what I said. They got 10 on a team. They don't need me. Kyle keeps texting me. They're all not playing. Leave me alone, Kyle.
But if you want to check out the Lady Hornet alumni game, that's 9:45, White Auditorium. Coach Dorsey will not be playing.
I don't believe I'm playing, man. We're headed to Burlington. Our kids got basketball in our last game in Burlington today at 12. So, I mean, I technically could make it, but I don't even own basketball shoes anymore. So, I was like, unless I'm playing in my Hey Dudes, I don't even know where I'd find those at.
Hey, that would be interesting to play basketball in Hey Dudes.
Hey, I got a bit of an ego, too. If I'm 37, you know... And I'm not trying to get whooped out there. I'm too competitive for that. That's part of the reason why. I'm not going to lie to you. Those young buds, I don't know that I can keep up with them.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the wins this past week. Have a good week this next week, and hopefully when you have come back here, we'll be talking about a couple more wins for
the
girls.
And again, before I go, I want to two people I want to compliment. Man, I want to throw a shout-out to Coach Medrano and the wrestling programs because, A, Coach Medrano is a good friend of mine. But, man, they're doing a great job, boys and girls wrestling, and he's always walking through there and giving my girls high fives. And again, Mr. Woolard and the band, they were phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like I said, I'm so – those are two men that probably are a little underappreciated, and I just wanted to make sure that they heard that I said we really appreciate both those programs. So thank you, guys.
And with that, we'll take our first break. We'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmontAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Marquette women's basketball team pulled off a big upset this week when they knocked off UConn 59-52. It was the first time the Golden Eagles have ever defeated the Huskies and the first back-to-back losses for UConn since 1993. Gino Auriemma's squad also fell to South Carolina last weekend.
If we don't get some people back soon, I don't know that we can sustain it. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to get back to who we were. I just don't know how quickly or how long we can. They've responded every other time except tonight.
In the 30 years that separate those back-to-back losses, UConn has won 11 national championships and enjoyed a win streak of 126 regular season games. But despite their consistent success over the past 30 years, the Huskies are searching for their first national championship since 2016. Coming up, we'll check in on D1 hockey on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's homestyle French toast sticks are so delicious, some are saying that they're better than their mom's breakfast.
Excuse me, did you just say Wendy's French toast sticks are better than my breakfast?
Mom, is that you?
Answer the question.
I said some people are saying that because they're so crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside and perfect in every way.
Uh-huh. And what do you think?
I think it's time to tell people to choose wisely. Choose Wendy's sweet and crispy homestyle French toast sticks.
That's still not an answer.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
One of the great traditions in NCAA Division I hockey is the annual Beanpot Tournament that dates back 70 years. This year's final comes down to a Monday night battle between Harvard and Northeastern. Those two schools, along with Boston College and Boston University, make up the four-team field. Northeastern has won the title for the last 5 years, while Harvard is searching for their first Beanpot crown since 2017. The women's Beanpot hockey final will be held next Tuesday night. It'll be Northeastern and Boston College for the title there. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood as we now shift our attention to the Emporia High boys who brought home the Dean Smith Trophy last night with a 67-51 win over Topeka High, completing the season sweep over Topeka High. And to Coach Lee Baldwin, we say congratulations. Nice win last night.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
As you look back at the game, what kind of stands out about the way your guys were playing last night?
Well, we made an adjustment in our 1-3-1. We moved our top and our middle guy
to different spots. They're really good on the perimeter and shoot a ton of threes. So we went with a little bit more quickness up front to try to run them off the line. Thought we did a pretty good job of that in the first half. You know, they're offensively, they're pretty good. They scored 70 on Tuesday against Manhattan and hit 13 threes. So we knew that taking away the three ball was going to be pretty important for us.
Well, and you talked about it in postgame on Tuesday night. You win a game by scoring, what, 39 points? Last night, you score a game scoring 67 points. So your guys have kind of proved that they can win playing different styles of basketball.
Yeah, we watch a lot of film, and we talk about, or at least try to talk about, this is how we envision this game going in terms of style. So this is how we're going to have to play this game. So, you know, being able to win two different styles in 1 week is good to see, especially this time of the year.
And, you know, River Peters has had an up-and-down season, but it was great to see him get some shots, and he made two big threes early, and then, of course, he has two dunks towards the end of the game. But how did it feel to get River back into the swing of things?
It was fantastic. You know, he cares a lot. This is important to him. He got a couple steals, live ball turnover dunks. He got a really nice post up in the fourth quarter, threw a lob to him there. So, you know, he hit some threes, got some live ball turnovers, got a post up. So he was really impressive last night.
And, you know, Fred Jackson continues to be big for you guys. He's been able to score the basketball a little bit more. You know, he had six at Hayden on Tuesday night. Last night, you know, he had 11 and he made another three.
You know, he's not a good shooter, but nobody stays later after practice to shoot. So I tell him he gets one a game. If he makes the first one, he can shoot a second one. If he misses the first one, he's done. So at Washburn Rule, he missed it so bad it went in on a bank in the left slot.
And that was when Darian Harris said, he goes, "Oh, my God, Fred just shot a three."
Yeah, well, I guess I caved in on that one when he – stays late and shoots every night for an hour. I said, "All right, you can get one." So, but in all seriousness, we can't not have him on the floor. I mean, nobody works harder than he does. He's just a great example of, if you're really competitive and you're tough, you can find a spot on the floor. And it's a credit to him because he didn't even play last year. Not a lot of teams are playing somebody that's 20, 25 minutes a game that didn't even play as a junior. So it's pretty special.
You always want your players to put you in a situation where you have to say to yourself, "I can't take this guy off the floor." And for him, that has to be such a great accomplishment.
You know, at Hayden, they played a 2-3 zone. And with his lack of shooting ability, there were some times in the zone where he was clogging it up. But I can't take him off the floor because of how valuable he is on defense. So there's just going to be some times where we just have to take that and accept it and move on, because I can't take him off the floor unless he's in foul trouble or he's exhausted.
You know, what was it like to get the contributions? You know, it was kind of spread out, even though River goes for 21 and Fred Jackson has 11 points. But, you know, solid nights from Parker Leeds and Jalen King, Cooper Reck. You know, the usual suspects. Sheldon Stewart played well, but he was in some foul trouble last night. But, you know, those guys are just important too, besides the guys that I just mentioned that were able to score a little bit more.
Our guys really shared the ball well last night. Ball wasn't sticking, and I think that's a reason why so many guys were in the 7 to 12 point scored figure. So when you have 6 to 7 guys in that area, that means the ball's not sticking, and, you know, we're getting live ball turnovers, and I think that's harder to prepare for and harder to guard.
For this group of players, do they understand the importance of the Dean Smith Trophy?
I hope so. I mean, we talked a lot about it, the historical significance of it, not just with basketball, but the background of integrating schools and integrating sports here in Emporia, and just the success that Dean Smith had as a player, as a coach. You know, it's a big deal, I mean, in both communities. So educating our guys on the history and the past of his accomplishments and what he's meant to both communities is, you know, it's pretty special. It's a big deal. So I hope I did a good enough job of explaining to them why we're playing for this and the significance of it.
We have Curtis Simons, who's online. He's covering the regional wrestling for girls regional wrestling. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what lies ahead with your guys after we get an update from Curtis Simons. He's at Wichita Southeast, where the Emporia High girls are getting ready to compete in regionals, trying to earn a trip to state. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going?
Doing good. Well, big day today for the Emporia High girls wrestling team. Top four finishers go on to state. How do the Lady Spartans look going into this week's regionals?
This is a loaded, it's a really, really tough regional. This one and the Dodge City are by far the toughest. And then Topeka Siemens is not a very tough regional, but we have a young team this year. We basically have 8 underclassmen and then we have 5 upperclassmen. And going in, the seeding was last night, and we have 4 girls seeded in the top 4. Of course, the top 4 make it to state, but Ariana Estrada at 105 pounds, she's seeded 3rd. She's a sophomore at 120 pounds. You have Katina Kiyosi Buhong, she's seeded 4th. She's a junior. And at 135, Virginia Munoz, she plays 2nd at state. She's seeded 3rd, and she played 2nd at state last year. And then at 170 pounds, you have Kiana Flores Delgado, and she's seeded 4th as well. So it's a tough regional, and that's why you wrestle, and that's why you compete, so you can – you know, we're hoping we'll get more than 4 girls to state, but we're getting ready to start here in a few minutes.
Looking at this year's team, you mentioned the 4 that are the top 4 ranked wrestlers, but the thing that has to be exciting is when you look at the roster, how many young wrestlers are in that top 4 and also have a chance to earn a trip to state.
Yeah, we have 4 freshmen and 4 sophomores here, and a lot of these girls, they've only wrestled for 1 or 2 years. And so this year, these girls have improved so much. Our wrestling IQ is getting better. We're putting moves together. They're improving, and we hope that they've improved enough to get them to the state tournament.
So what time do the matches get underway this morning?
At 9 o'clock is when they get to rolling. At 9 o'clock is when wrestling is supposed to start. But we, like I said, this year we're young. But Kiana Flores Delgado, she leads the team. She has 31 wins this year as a senior, and she was one match in place in the state last year. And like I said, she's seeded 4th. So it's a tough regional. It's mainly the Wichita schools and Washburn Rural. Adding Washburn Rural into the mix makes it a tough regional as well. Plus, we got some good girls here too as well.
Well, Curtis, we look forward to your updates throughout the day today. Cheer on those Lady Spartans. Get them qualified for state so we can follow them in 2 weeks at this state girls' state wrestling. But, you know, this girls' wrestling in the state of Kansas has really caught fire, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. This year it's a one-day tournament, but there's 17 schools here, but not all the schools are full. We're only open at one weight class, but there's – in a year, two years, they're probably going to split the 5A and 6A into another state tournament because of the numbers of girls. And just like last year, we had 35 girls that did the alpha weigh-ins. This year, we had 49 girls that did the alpha weigh-ins, and we finished the season with 38 girl wrestlers. And so, and looking at the middle school, we have 12 middle school wrestlers, kids, the girls that have been wrestling for 7th and 8th grade, and Aaron Mejia is the coach down there. And having those girls coming in next year, some of those middle school girls having that experience is going to be huge. And like I said, we're a very, very young team this year. We only have 2 seniors on varsity this year. So we're young, we're rebuilding, but we'll get there.
Let's use the word reloading. How about that, Curtis?
Yeah, that
I like
sounds
that.
Good. Reloading, definitely.
Well, Curtis, thanks a lot for keeping us up to date throughout the day, and we look forward to your reports today.
Thank you. See you later.
That's Curtis Simons, who is former Emporia High boys wrestling coach and former Emporia High athletic director. He's following the Emporia High wrestling team. So he'll have updates today from the girls regional, and then next week he'll be with the Emporia High boys when they will be at regionals on Friday and Saturday. Their regionals will be at Andover, and for them, the top 8 wrestlers at regionals go on to state. So hopefully we'll have a full load of wrestlers headed to state the 20th, 22nd and 23rd for the girls, and 24th and 25th for the boys, all at Hartman Arena in Park City in Wichita. So thanks to Curtis Simons. Again, he'll have updates throughout the day here on KVOE. Getting back to boys basketball. Picked up the win at Topeka Hayden. Three wins over Hayden this season. That's a huge accomplishment.
It is. It means even more because Hayden's good. I mean, if you're beating somebody three times, it's not very good. That's not as much to hold your hat about. But Hayden's a good team. I mean, they've had a lot of tough, close losses this year where their record could easily be three or four wins higher than they are. But that's a quality team. And to win on the road in that type of environment where it was very physical, you know, that was a pretty special win.
Yeah, Hayden last night loses in overtime at Washburn Rural, so that tells you a little bit. They've been a little snake bit this year in some of their games, but I'm guessing that Coach Dwayne Paul, once they get to sub-state play, they'll be able to take advantage of some of these close games.
Yeah, bumping down to 4A, playing, you know, a 5A and 6A schedule. They did the same thing last year, and it paid dividends for them, making the state and getting fourth. And, you know, I fully anticipate them getting back to Salina again this year. That's a really good team.
Well, your basketball team has another stacked week coming up with Manhattan on Tuesday and going to Junction City on Friday. And I don't know if you'd like to have maybe one of those also-rans, but there isn't an also-ran in the Centennial League this year, is there?
No, there's not. I mean, you know, in my opinion, Washburn Rules the best team in our league, but they've won two games this week by two at the buzzer and then four in overtime. So that the gap between the first and fifth best team in our league is so razor thin that if you don't play your best, you're going to get beat. Manhattan's lost a couple tough ones. They also beat Washburn Rural. Hayden's lost a couple tough ones. You know, Junction City beat us. They just lost to Manhattan. So it's very hard to predict. It's very unpredictable. So anytime you can win on the road and, you know, win any type of game in our league this year, it's a good win. So, we have a really tough week coming up, and hopefully we're ready to go on Tuesday.
Does it feel like that this league you're seeing more closer games? Because last night when I gave you the scores, and, of course, Rural won by four over Hayden, and then Manhattan beats Junction City by 1 point, and I mean, even though your victory was a lopsided victory, Topeka High has been playing a lot of teams closer.
Well, I think we have a unique league this year in terms of, you know, what I believe Washburn has the best player. Junction City is the most athletic. Hayden has the most dominant player. And then Manhattan is the biggest in terms of sheer size. So when you have those four teams that bring a specific skill set or uniqueness to the game, you're going to have games where they're really close, and you're going to see scores where, well, that doesn't make sense. And, you know, and then there's us, which I'd like to think that, you know, we bring a uniqueness in terms of the way we play our zone and how hard we play to make it difficult on teams. So, you know, when you have a mix of different types of styles and different types of roster combinations, you're going to see a lot of close games.
Well, your basketball team, as we mentioned, has Manhattan coming up on Tuesday night. What's the next step you'd like to see them take against Manhattan?
Well, the first time we played them, I took the air out of the ball because when we were up three or four possessions, they sat in their 3-2 zone. So I anticipate them to extend their 3-2 zone a little bit more if they start out in that. We're not going to be able to hold the ball like that this game. We're going to have to be able to run offense and run it well. And then the challenge is being able to run it and not fall in love with the three ball just because, you know, they go 6-6, 6-6, 6-4. And we just can't turn it into a 25-shot attempt from a three-point line type of game. I anticipate this game having to be somewhere in the low 50s, and we're going to have to win it with our defense and rebounding because their sheer size is just not going to allow us to, you know, score in the 60s.
And then you travel to Junction City and get a chance to check out their new gymnasium.
You know, watching them on film, that gym looks pretty sweet. It looks pretty sweet. And, you know, honestly, of our five losses, that was the one that by score was the least competitive. They ended up winning that game by 13 on us that night and held us to 39 points. And their athleticism on the perimeter really bothered us. So, you know, Tuesday we're going to play a team that's got significant size on us, and then Friday we're going to play a team that has significant athleticism on the perimeter advantage over us. So it's going to be two different challenges this week and two different styles of play that we're going to have to be ready for.
Well, Coach, have a good week of practice. Good luck on Tuesday against Manhattan, and good luck on Friday against Junction City.
Thank you very much. And I'd also like to thank our JV team. The last week and a half, our guys have played their best basketball. They got a really big win up at Washburn Rule. They beat Topeka Hayden by 30, got a running clock on them, and then got Topeka High last night, and we had lost to them the first time this year. So our JV guys are playing their best basketball this time of year. And I think there's three or four of those guys that are going to be able to slide in and help us next year at the varsity level. So they're doing a great job right now, and you know they deserve to be recognized for that in some sort of fashion.
Yeah. Congratulations to them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, Emporia High boys last night picking up the 67-51 win over Topeka High, bringing home the Dean Smith Trophy. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union understands the Emporia mortgage market and offers flexible programs and down payment options to meet your needs. Plus, members enjoy credit union advantages like low closing costs, fast underwriting, in-branch payments, and local servicing. If you value exceptional personalized customer service for the life of your loan, visit esfcu.com to apply for your mortgage today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back, Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Greg Gray along with Dylan Sherwood, and we're now joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NLS 424226. Good morning, Mitch.
Great job, Greg. Great job, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ed Reed, awesome. That was Mahomes scrambling for a first down and then getting hit out of bounds for 15 more yards against Cincinnati. And Dylan coming in to kick the field goal. That's what that was.
All right. Love it, Mitch.
Well, in the immortal words of Hank Williams Jr., are you ready for some football?
Yes, I am. I'm about talked out. Although, hey, saving the best for last for you guys. This is the 35th. Interview that I've done this week because it came down with the team on Sunday, and it's been crazy. The Monday night event, the opening night event, which is it was better this year than I thought in Miami. It was just kind of less stupid. That's probably pretty blunt, but it just was better. It was held in the Phoenix Suns Arena and not in the baseball park, and so yeah, it was just better. But it's just an avalanche of activities and media sessions and NFL events, and it's just one thing after the other. It's very exciting, but you also, somewhere in there's a football game, and one of the biggest football games of all of our lives, and so you got to concentrate and dig in and take care of business.
Well, for the Chiefs, it's we've been there, done that a couple of times. Yeah. Does it feel new and different every time?
Yeah, a lot of it is, and a lot of it is not. I do think the fact that the Chiefs have been here recently and encountered this. Now, even though the Eagles won it in 17, so they also have been here, done that fairly recently, but not as recently as the Chiefs, that you have to navigate it. And, yeah, some of it feels like, okay, yeah, this is like the last time, but a lot of it is new. The Phoenix area, the folks here in Scottsdale, like at our team hotel and headquarters, has done a phenomenal job. Logistically, it's been terrific and very manageable, and so it's been terrific in that regard. But yeah, it's something, though, boys. I'm telling you, I am ready for this football game. And truthfully, it's like I mentioned last week with you guys. You can't win the game with the bye week, or the first 3 or 4 days you land here and just get taken down the Colorado River Rapids with everything that goes on with this game. But you can lose it. But I think that's where Andy Reid's experience and this coaching staff will give the team an advantage. I really think Andy Reid's the biggest advantage for either team in this game.
Well, there's, of course, I've paid a lot of attention to the Chiefs, so I haven't really heard a lot from the Eagles or about the Eagles, but I know nationwide the Eagles are the favorite for a lot of people. But for me, it's maybe a toss-up, but the advantage that the Chiefs have, number 15, Patrick Mahomes, and number 87, Travis Kelce, two players that just seem to be connected at the hip and just seem to know what's going to happen next. That's the big advantage, and of course, you mentioned Big Red. Andy Reid, that's a huge advantage for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are hard to play, Greg, when you don't play them very often. And although we played the Eagles last year in Week 4, that was the famous Andy Reid get 100 wins with two teams game. But still, the Chiefs have won 16 consecutive games over NFC teams in the regular season. Now, count the playoffs, it's 14 out of 15, with the only loss to Tampa Bay in Super Bowl 55, which, by the way, was in Tampa Bay. And that was under just unique circumstances. Think about the unfortunate accident that happened right before we get on the plane, essentially, and then all of that. But truthfully, the Chiefs are hard to play. They're complex in both offense and defense. And so I just think that's an advantage coming into this Eagles game, even though the Eagles are very good. Eagles have no real weaknesses on their team. Their defense, we know, is outstanding. They have more sacks this season than any team since the 85 Bears, thought to be the gold standard of defense in NFL history. And that's what the Chiefs are up against. But the Eagles are up against something that the national media and international media I don't think fully appreciates, and that is the fact that the Chiefs are so complex. They have talent, but it's also the way they do business that makes the Chiefs difficult to beat.
So where else do you see the Chiefs having an advantage tomorrow afternoon?
Truthfully, I think on the defensive side, it is the fact that the emergence of front seven. To me, in studying this game and doing the deep dive and the scuba dive in this team, is that Philadelphia, the most impressive thing Philly's got is their ability and creativity in the RPO game. You know, we chuckle about Smith Center, which is a three-back offense. When you look at, play Army or Air Force, the runs look the same, but they're blocked five or six different ways. And that's what Philadelphia does. And with Jalen Hurts being a factor in the run game, and they've got four guys that can run it, you're thinking, wait a minute, you're listing off all of Philadelphia's assets here. Why are you talking about where else do the Chiefs have an advantage? I truly think what Chris Jones has done up front, but then the addition of Carlos Dunlap, the continued improvement of Mike Dana, Derek Nnadi, Colin Saunders has had huge improvement, and then the growth of George Karloftis. The Chiefs have eight guys that can rotate for four spots on that up front, the defensive front, and then with the linebackers, which can be very impactful. We know with Nick Bolton and Willie Gay Jr., Leo Chanel, Darius Harris. I think the national and international media doesn't fully comprehend or understand or appreciate, because they just look at the total defensive numbers. This team, this Chiefs team, is equipped to play that RPO game more than other teams in the NFL because of the speed and their discipline of the defensive Chiefs defensive front seven.
Mitch, how important is it, earlier in the week, Kadarius Toney was limited in practice and Legarius Sneed with a knee, and everyone was able to practice, be a full participant yesterday. How big is it that the Chiefs are getting healthy heading into tomorrow?
Yeah, it's been probably the most asked question this week, and honestly, it's been a pertinent question. But Dylan, that has just been positively progressing every day. This is green light all the way. There is nobody that's red-lighted right now in this game. Unless there's some late setback today, they got one more practice, it's going to be more interesting to see who's inactive. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is now active on the roster, and with Mecole Hardman put on injured reserve. Other than that, it's on. I think everybody's in play. Everybody's up. Everybody's moving and shaking. So if this was last week, if we didn't have this bye week and we had to play one week after the Cincinnati victory, ooh, we might have been in a little bit of trouble. But this extra week has been a blessing to get these guys all ready to go. Right now, it's green lights all the way up and down the line.
So let's look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, as you mentioned, no weak spots, and their defense has been really what a lot of people are talking about. What makes their defense so good?
Well, they've got so many impactful defensive front guys. They remind me a little bit of like the old 70s and 80s defensive fronts, in that you have usually have a speed rusher, right, in this day and age. These guys have double-digit sacks all the way across the line, whether it's Josh Sweat or Javon Hargrave, who's a stud. Fletcher Cox is the old man, played for Coach Reed there, but he's still being very effective. I mean, you just go up and down the line, and then you've got Hassan Reddick, who's had a historic year for them, and former Arizona Cardinal, and the Eagles were able to pick him up. It's just their ability to attack and press and then bring in a second group. The same thing I told you about the Chiefs. Here comes Ndamukong Suh coming into the game. Linvald Joseph, they went out and got veterans who still have a little bit back left in the tank, and they only have to play 15 snaps. But you're bringing in the second wave of guys that just continues to keep the pressure on. And that's where the Chiefs, of course, have to deal with it. But it goes back to Andy Reid. Andy Reid in 10 seasons has taught me a lot about how to block people without blocking people and to deceive those defensive fronts or slow them down. You guys got to think about who we played against in our division and in these 10 years. We have played the premier pass rushers. I mean, Von Miller was in our division. Khalil Mack is in our division again after being there a second time. We played Joey Bosa a lot. We played Nick Bosa. Had to play Nick Bosa in the Super Bowl. Had to play a whole line of first-round draft picks in Super Bowl 54. So the Chiefs have done this before, and they got a way of handling it. But you ask, and it's that front for Philadelphia. And then what the Eagles did, they got some veteran corners. They got Darius Slay. A couple years ago, we played against him last year, but we played against him in 2015 in London as a Detroit Lion. The biggest addition has been James Bradbury, the right corner who they picked up from the New York Giants in their own division and gave him money. Now, Bradbury forced the most incompletions this year by any corner in the National Football League, 20. And his QBR, when he was attacked or targeted, was top five in the league. So the corners are good, veteran good, smart corners, and the defensive line is exceptional, and the second wave of dudes looks like a Pro Bowl list.
Then on the offensive side, of course, Jalen Hurd at quarterback, and there's been the debate, who's the better quarterback? My debate ends with Patrick Mahomes. But what does Jalen Hurd, what kind of challenges does he offer the Chiefs' defense?
Well, again, when you're playing a team that is, this is like playing a service academy team in that you have to play all 11 offensive guys. Think about it when ESU plays, let's say a drop back passer, and he hands off or he's going to throw. You're playing 11 defensive guys against 10. The quarterback, after I hand off, is not going to go block somebody. When you play Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles, you're playing 11 offensive players. And so you got 10 blocking 11, and the 11th guy's running the ball many times. That and the deception. Again, and I didn't know this until I really started studying them, is that they remind me of Smith Center. And what Smith Center does, it looks like the same play. And truthfully, the same play is really five different plays. They are intricate, the Eagles are, in their run game. The other thing they do is their offensive line is good. And again, Jason Kelce, Travis's brother, spurs it, but he's so smart and so athletic that he is making intricate line calls. They will have an intricate play call with the run and then even change it based on where you're lined up. Now, that's a lot of teams do that, but not to the level the Eagles do. I mean, they have this down to the nth degree. The other thing the Eagles will do is they'll take shots, and they'll take shots early. Now, herein lies a question that has not been asked enough, I don't think, because everyone's asked about Patrick Mahomes' ankle. High ankle sprain, 3 weeks ago? And here he is getting ready to play in Super Bowl 57. What about Jalen Hurts' shoulder? He hurt it in week 15. And so it was not even pressed in the playoff game. They were able to run the ball and pretty much dominate the New York Giants, and they were never under any kind of stress. And then San Francisco ran out of quarterbacks, and the Eagles really weren't any under stress. There's been very little time this year where Hurts has gone into a fourth quarter where it's 28-28, and he's going to make plays that aren't designed run plays, where he's going to make plays with his arm in the pocket. Now, he can do that, but can he do it with a bum shoulder? Because that shoulder, I've been on so many shows this week, but one national observer, this was off air, and you would know who it is if I told you, but I'm going to protect his identity, said he thinks that Jalen Hurts' shoulder is a bigger issue than Patrick Mahomes' ankle in this game.
Well, I was listening to one of the Kansas City stations, and they mentioned that they had Ron Jaworski, who does the Eagles broadcast, and they were asking him if he could notice a difference between Jalen Hurts before the shoulder injury and after the shoulder injury. And I guess Ron Jaworski, I didn't hear the interview, but they said Ron Jaworski said, yeah, I notice a difference between pre-injury and post-injury. So that could be a factor and will probably be a factor, especially on the deep balls.
Yes. Now, they'll take shots. They take shots early. Our guys expect it. But even then, they can surprise you. But they did a good job in the A.J. Brown trade picking him up. And we played A.J. Brown. He hurt us as a Titan. I mean, he had a buck plus on us in a Titan victory against us even last year in 21. So he's been a problem for us. And then Devontae Smith, who was Jalen Hurts' teammate at Alabama, can go deep. Remember the San Francisco game and the NFC game, the game it should not have been allowed. San Francisco didn't challenge it, but they took a shot down the sideline that set the tone for the game. But even then, that throw wasn't great. So they're still going to do it, but how often will they do it, and how effective will they be in doing it, and can Hurts throw the deep ball? Plus, let's go back to Hurts running the ball. He's going to take some shots, and he's going to get hit. And so if he gets hit just wrong here, again, everybody's focused on Patrick's ankle, but Hurts' shoulder could be as big or bigger an issue.
Mitch, how important is it to have the Chiefs' defense put the pressure to Jalen Hurts and try to get him in the backfield just like they did against Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, and they got Burrow many times, more than what a lot of people thought the Chiefs were going to do a couple weeks ago in the AFC Championship game?
Well, and that's, again, it just mystifies me how underrated some things are, or people don't do enough of a dive, because what they focused on is the Philadelphia Eagles sacks, with 70 in the regular season, 8 in the postseason, for 78 total. That's the total that's the second to the 85 Bears. Guess who's right behind them? The Chiefs had 55 in the regular season and 7 in the postseason. So that's 62. It's not close to the 85 Bears, but it's really good. Now, it's not just getting sacks. The sacks are kind of something down the line, but you're on to something, Dylan, because it's also the Chiefs' defensive line at or near the line of scrimmage making plays, being gap sound, or making tackles for a loss. Because some of these intricate runs I've been telling you about, if you get inside of a pulling blocker, you can get a tackle for a loss against these guys. Then you put them behind the chains, and it's something they really do not like. And the Chiefs had the propensity to do that. When I listed off those guys that I talked about, I didn't mention Brandon Williams from Missouri Southern. He's been a really good addition for this team on the defensive line. Because of those guys being able to be gap sound, disciplined, playing the run, and maybe even getting a couple tackles for losses in the run game, now you put Philadelphia in a psychological and physical position they just detest. So you're dead on, man. That's a big, giant key to this game. But again, people have not done the deep dive into the Chiefs' defensive line to see that they could possibly be equipped to handle it.
So what's your big key to a Chiefs' victory tomorrow?
Honestly, you know, the X factor here, I think, is special teams. And the special teams have grown here for the Chiefs. The Eagles had Aaron Sipos as their punter. He got hurt. And so for this last 5 or 6 weeks, they went to Brett Kern, who's a 15-year veteran. This will be his first Super Bowl, however. We played Brett a lot. He was a Titan for years and years. And just at the end of his career, think of Dustin Colquitt at the end of his career. So he's plugging in there. I think special teams-wise, overall, there's one or two big plays that will be the advantage of the Chiefs. What is that? Return? Yeah, maybe, possible. Block punt? That's possible. Just hang in there. The fact that the Chiefs, who is going to maneuver the shifting of this game? And the Chiefs, I think, have an advantage there that could tip the scale in what's going to be, I think, a close and epic game. But the Chiefs are built to win this game. I'm going to tell you guys, and I sensed a little bit last week, but once we got our boots on the ground here, this team is on it. Andy Reid's on this game. So is Patrick Mahomes. So is Travis Kelce. So is Chris Jones. So is Carlos Dunlap. This is his dream. 13 years, no playoff wins. He came here to get 100 sacks, get to the playoffs, get a playoff win, and win a Super Bowl. And Carlos Dunlap can check all those boxes and finally live his dream as an outstanding player. Think of a Derek Johnson doing that with them, you know, the Patriots or something. That's what Dunlap's got going here. This team's on it. If the Eagles are going to beat us, they're going to have to knock us out, which they can. They got that propensity. But the Chiefs are swinging away in this game, and I love where the Chiefs are mentally, where they're at improved physically. But emotionally, I'm really loving where this team is at. So get ready, boys, and cinch up the belt. I don't know where you're going to be, Greg. You guys, you're not playing Sunday, are you?
No.
Okay, so you're ready to go.
Yeah,
Dylan,
we have.
I hope.
Go ahead.
What do you have today?
We have Newman at home today.
Ooh, the Jets. Okay. Is that your travel partner? No, you're.
No, Washburn.
Right?
Washburn is.
Okay. And Dylan, I don't know where you'll be. But let's go, boys.
I've
been on this show for a quarter century and, you know, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. No one. Even Tim, the diehardest of diehard Chiefs fans, didn't think this was coming. So let's go do it. Let's win it. Get a second one and a third one for the franchise. Second one in 4 years and crank away. It's been quite a 28 weeks with you guys. Going all the way back to the beginning of training camp. And yes, I figured it out. It's been 28 weeks. This has been quite a journey for over half a calendar year to get us to this point. Now it's time to complete it.
Well,
and Dylan, I ain't leaving. You ain't. You know, I'm at Super Bowl 57. I ain't leaving until I get it.
Okay. Hey. This is the positive vibes. It's It's been a great start to the weekend. Emporia High got a sweep last night. I'm hoping for another Chiefs Super Bowl win. So here we go. Oh man, that did not do good.
Fumbles, Greg.
Gotta take a breath. There. That was better.
All right. Way better.
That was better.
It's a way to come back. That's better. I'm ready now.
Yes.
Well, Mitch, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us this morning. Have a great day. Have a great call tomorrow. I wish we could hear it here in Emporia. Unfortunately, if I want to hear your call, I have to go to Kansas City to hear it. But have a great call tomorrow.
People can go online as well if they want to. People are doing that. I hate that. You guys know that. It's my least favorite thing of the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. It's what we got, and I'm not fond of it. But yeah, people, if they want to listen online, they can. Let's go. Let's go do this. Time to plan to play this game.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah. See you.
Appreciate it. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, ready for Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow, kickoff set for 5:30. You'll be able to hear Chiefs pregame on Country 101.7 FM beginning at 3. They'll take you to 4 o'clock, and then we'll join Westwood One's pregame coverage at 4. And then after the game, we'll have more Chiefs postgame coverage on Country 101.7 FM. Here on KVOE tomorrow, our pregame coverage starts at 1 o'clock with our preview, then an insider, then a pregame show, and then the Westwood One coverage of the game itself. Again, kickoff at 5:30, the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow in Super Bowl 57. Mitch's appearance, by the way, made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS 424226. And before we go, we still need to announce our Main Street Athletes of the Week. And Dylan, do you have a couple selections for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alex Alaming for Emporia High. Was the Centennial League runner-up in diving this past week on Thursday. Had a personal best. His degree of difficulty with that score, not good enough. He needs to add a little bit more, but a good way for Alex to end his diving season, his first year diving. So Alex Alaming of the Emporia High diving team as our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And do you have any options for our Area Athlete of the Week?
I've been trying to go through Twitter and trying to think of who's tweeted at me some interesting things, but I haven't really found anything area-wide from this past week.
I know Landon Boss had a couple of big weeks, but we've selected Landon Boss earlier this year. And
he had a big game last night against Opie from what I saw.
Had 40 points last night, had 40-plus points in their game on Tuesday against Rossville. So he's had a couple of big games, but he's had a lot of big games this season as well. But Landon Boss, as mentioned previously, named, we'd kind of like to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I know there are several coaches that, you know, kind of tweet at me so I can see some things, but I haven't really found anything.
Have we selected Brooklyn Jones from Lebo as our...
I think we did her in the fall, but she's actually committed to K-State for the javelin, and she just went over 1,000 points.
So why don't we go ahead and go with Brooklyn Jones of Lebo?
All right. Let's go ahead and do that.
Because she's having a heck of a season for Lebo. I know we picked her in the fall, but that was during the fall season. This is for the basketball season. So Alex Alaming, diving, Emporia High, and Brooklyn Jones of Lebo Girls Basketball are Main Street Athletes of the Week, so congratulations to both of them. Again, coming up today here on KVOE, KU, Oklahoma. That game tips off at noon over on Country 101.7 FM tonight, Kansas State at Texas Tech. And over on Mix 104.9, Emporia State. Newman women tip off at 1:30, followed by the men at 3:30. And if you want to, you can head over to White Auditorium about 9:45. The women's alumni game will be played at White Auditorium as well. So that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. For Dylan Shinward, I'm Greg Gray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.